Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Speaking of bad body language, Zach Jackson joins us on the show. Browns writer, The Athletic, from his Twitter handle is at Akron Jackson. Humana. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Zach.
Hello, gentlemen. What a pleasure to be here.
Is it? You always say someone canceled. Nobody canceled. We enjoy your presence.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I know my mom's listening, so.
Is she really? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Hello to Mrs. Jackson. Zach, we just asked people, what are they paying Baker? We had the answers of $35 million, less than $20 million a year, $32 to $33 million a year, a franchise tag, and $44 million a year. This is all over five people. Hit the music. I want to know what Zach Jackson would pay Baker Mayfield per year. Go ahead.
Well, this year they're paying him 10 or 11, and next year it's 18.
Oh, my God.
Well, but he's saying they're not going to offer him a contract.
I'm not saying that. I still think that the most likely outcome by a large amount is that the Browns offer him a contract. But once they miss that first window to save a few million dollars, and it's debatable of whether that was necessary anyway, there was no need. And, you know, so far there's nothing that's changed that. So
how much is Zach Jackson offering per year for Baker Mayfield?
I'm letting him play through what's already guaranteed.
I could have got that from Daryl Ryder. Why do I need Zach Jackson?
Because you need – I don't know if I really want to say this.
Never mind. Don't do it, please. No, don't do it. Don't do it, please. Moving on there, bud. Go ahead, Lima. Ask him a question. Let's
well, I get
right
you said to possibly save a few million in that opening window. I questioned why the Browns didn't just offer him something in the neighborhood of 32 before the season started. And I feel like that story would have got out. So it seems like they didn't offer him anything to try to beat – the tax on what it's going to be when the cap goes up, and if they go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl this year. They didn't do that. Now, the conventional wisdom outside of Cleveland is they didn't do that because they don't believe in him. But I felt like there was some belief in the building for him.
Well, I think there's a lot of belief in the building for him. But I think if you take a step back and you look at what this group has really done, and they've done a wonderful job, and they've given us all reason to think that the Browns are in a window here that's going to last for a while and it's going to yield some real results. All they've really done, I mean, they've done nothing even borderline crazy. And you could even debate bold. Signing Myles Garrett, no-brainer. Signing Nick Chubb at a discounted price, no-brainer. Needed two tackles last year, went and got two tackles. Needed a safety this year, went and got a safety. Be nice if he made some plays. But, you know, like, there's nothing they've done. The 5th years for Denzel and Baker were no-brainers, right? So we'll see. Now, the counter to that would be that Clowney was a little bit outside the box, and I think it was. I think that was a good move. I think when you look, obviously the defense after 2 weeks had a nightmare game, but I think the pieces are upgraded and they always knew it was going to be a while. So I think they're right on scheduled plan. And I don't think there was ever any plan to make this commitment. I think I've used this analogy. I'm sure I've done it on this show. I think the Browns and Baker are engaged, but I don't think there's a whole lot of wedding planning going on.
Zach Jackson with us on the show. If Paul DiPodesta was the one in charge to make the pick, who would he have drafted that year that Baker was selected?
That's a great question. I don't know. I hate this discussion for several reasons.
I love it.
They never considered Lamar Jackson, and they weren't going to take Josh Allen. They just weren't. The lone dissenter among those who really had a vote on Baker Mayfield was Alonzo Highsmith, and he was swayed by the end. He was Sam Darnold, and he was swayed by the end to Baker. So I know how it's played out, and, you know, obviously you play Lamar twice a year, and Josh Allen's pretty good, but the actual process pointed them here, and, you know, I think Baker has done a great job and has certainly played a key role in elevating this franchise. But this next step, all of these next steps are complicated, and the decision with him has multiple layers of complication with it. I don't think anybody can run from that.
That could be a loaded question to some people. The reason I asked is because, you know, they needed somebody who could provide a spark now. Lamar would have just been so philosophically different then, but his talent may just very well be undeniable. With Josh Allen, he was philosophically different, but I do feel that if the Browns had Josh Allen, I think Josh Allen would be in a heap of trouble. I don't think that he would have nearly, and you could see from the history of the support system that he has in Buffalo, to really come to fruition the way he has.
No, I agree, Ken. I mean, with Lamar, you have to gear every organizational decision around building that offense. And with Josh Allen, I mean, I think Brian Daboll and just the way they were able to be patient, I'm not sure it would have worked here, right? Mm-hmm. It's different here. I mean, they've built around Baker in a completely different way. They have the best running back combo we've seen in a long, long time. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league, and they're supposed to have a dynamic receiving core that right now has major question marks because the guy that really makes it go is not here. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who's really promising, has only had one game where he's really done anything. And then, of course, Odell Beckham, the saga continues. So, you know, you're paying your tight ends a lot of money to block, and that fits this team. Njoku finally had his big breakout game. He's finally a full-time player again for the first time since 2018. So the builds are completely different. The vibe is completely different. But the bottom line is the Browns only have Baker under contract for another year plus a few months. So eventually you have to make a decision. And, I do, like I said, it's at the top. I do think it's headed one way. But I understand why they've waited, and I think all options really are still on the table in some regard.
Zach Jackson with us on the hotline. Last two drives have been debated. Obviously, Stefanski has talked about the decision to run the ball on third down in that second last series. The last series, however, I've put that more on Baker. I just always thought last drive of the game when it's no timeouts and you've got to go down the field, I thought that was always on the quarterback. Just let the instincts go, let the ball fly. Be able to use everything that you've got at your disposal in terms of arm talent to be able to do it, because we see all the great quarterbacks do it all the time. He decided, or do you think it was Stefanski, he decided to simply dump to the flats and go about it a way that I don't often see teams do, especially good teams. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, they needed to be more aggressive. The Chargers are going to sit back and keep everything in front of them. And the first one you have to take because you have to get the drive going, right? You sprint up to the line, you run it again. The three straight dump-offs is just unforgivable. As far as the second-to-last drive, you know, it's not so much how they did it. It's the drop-back pass. Like, this team doesn't do that. And if you're going to throw on second, why not throw on third? If you're going to throw on second, why not throw on first? I go all the way back to around 9 minutes left when, right after the pass interference call, they accept the illegal man downfield call, I believe that it was. Why? It gave the Chargers an extra play. Guess what they did? Converted fourth down. It was a complete, but to me, uncharacteristic failure of the game management. And I think, as far as summing up the end, yes, the final frontier for this quarterback and for this offense is to win one at the end. The Browns are good. There are 10 reasons I could list off that the Browns are just fine and are going to be 7-3, 8-4, 9-4 here in a little more than a month, and they're going to be right in it. But if they're ever going to knock these teams out, it's going to be in the last minutes. They have to play 60 minutes. They're going to have to win at the end, and the facts are they just haven't done that yet. So it's barely mid-October, yet it's fine. They're still in pretty good shape, but they need to do that. And I thought the whole last 9 minutes, really 20 minutes, was just inexcusable last Sunday.
Zach, I'm curious because I got an email. Somebody sent me a Baker Mayfield 51-yard touchdown bomb to Jarvis Landry. I think it was his rookie year against the Panthers. It was incredible. It was
the best throw that's ever been made in that stadium.
I was there. It was incredible. And the type of stuff that Aaron Rodgers does, the type of stuff that Patrick Mahomes does. It's why we thought, hey, this is a number one overall pick who has all the talent of number one overall pick. He's sitting here right now with two interceptions. That's supposed to be a good thing. That's supposed to be a really good thing. Don't turn the ball over. He got credit for not turning the ball over at the end of last year. Is there any chance that they are so concerned with not turning the ball over in this offense that they've coached some of this big playmaking out of him?
There's a chance, yeah. I don't fully buy that. He has plenty of arm. I do think the offense and specifically the game plans that are usually so good, the scripts of 12, 15 plays and the way that they, you know, plan for situations, I do think it's more of a short pass. Everything they do is based off misdirection. He's really good on bootlegs. He's really good on play action and hitting guys over the middle at the intermediate range. And I would also say that when you can attack in that intermediate range, you don't necessarily have to go deep except for a couple times. So, you know, the facts are he attacked down the field in week one and it worked, and it hasn't worked since. The passing charts are in my Browns Rewind on The Athletic right now. So is it coached that way and scripted that way? I think that it is. I mean, I went back and watched the game from Sunday, and it did seem like there were more shorter passes than usual. But this is how the Chargers play defense. They're willing to give up 4-yard runs and willing to give up 6-yard passes to, you know, make it count when they do blitz and to, in general, make you earn it and not give up the big plays. That's just what they do. As the game goes on, they let Derwin James loose and do his thing. And I thought the Browns did a good job of only letting him make a couple huge plays because he made about 20 plays in general. So I think it's coached and scripted more than anything else. I really do.
What would you do with OBJ?
I'm curious to see how it goes the next couple of weeks. I do not think that he's going to be traded because I don't think that there's any value they could get that matches the potential value he has for this team.
Your old boss says it's time to trade his ass in value.
But that, what would the value be? I can't imagine that there's much of any. The drop the other day, the body language, the way he doesn't even get looked at most of the time, I don't know what's going on. I'm fairly confident he's not going to be here next year, but I still would be in the surprised and nearly stunned if he's not here on November 3rd.
He didn't focus on Odell at all. That offense seemed to run very well. When this is all done, like if this ends in the next 20 days, like there's going to be a lot of autopsies that go over. What do you think is the main?
I don't think that it would, but go ahead.
What do you think is the main problem? How do you fix it?
I'm mystified, and I said this yesterday on the podcast. I have been out front saying you don't get better when you lose a player that talented, right? Like, this guy can come in and you never run away from talent, and especially in this offense where so many guys get involved and you've seen the coach force him the ball. I mean, last year in that Dallas game, as soon as Nick Chubb got hurt, what did they do? They just fed Odell the ball, and he had obviously his best game in Cleveland, but he had one of his best games in years. They didn't feed him the ball. I don't know. There's so much about the other day where they scored 42 points and it felt empty, right? And him not being involved does not make that list. But when you do the autopsy, and I think that's a good word, you're wondering. So I don't know what the problem is. I'm not in the game plan meetings. But the last 2 weeks I've sat in the end zone for the games. So I've had really good views of a lot of routes. And he doesn't get looked at a lot, and a lot of balls don't go in his zip code. And in Minnesota, they tried to get him on the end around on the quick screens, and they didn't do that the other day. Well, he scored 42 points. Nick Chubb ran all over him. He did get Higgins wide open for the touchdown. But, you know, a lot of the scripted passes went to Njoku, and a lot of the other passes went to Donovan Peoples-Jones, who had a great game, and the Browns obviously saw something they liked there. So it's too early to rule him or any or anyone out. But I do think this is going to become more than an issue, more of an issue. And I just think the reality is, given the money he makes and the stature that he has, and given what's going on with the quarterback and what you guys have been talking about for hours today and days and weeks and months, if these two don't connect, it's going to continue to hang over everything that they do, unless they just go on a run of 5 or 6 or 7 in a row, which they could, right? But every time they don't win in the 2 minutes, every time they don't hit these deep balls, it's going to keep coming up. And I don't have the answer as to why it's not happening, but when you watch in person, it doesn't seem real close to happening.
All right, quickly, Zach, because we got to go. Were you surprised by the Vegas line for this game this weekend?
No, not really. Not really at all. You know, the Browns have earned this good reputation. Nobody goes undefeated in this league. And as long as the Browns are healthy, they can win. But, we'll just have to see who they have out there on defense, because a lot of guys are limping, and this is a tough situation with a quick turnaround coming.
Zach, thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thank you, guys.
Zach Jackson. Find him on Twitter at Akron Jackson on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I wish these games were reversed. I wish they were reversed, because it would be easy. Sit guys for the Denver game, play them for the Cardinals game. The problem is now you got to play you want to play these guys this week, even though it's not a conference game. Really, this game is kind of meaningless. I know people say no games are meaningless. In terms of tiebreakers, in terms of home field advantage, this game is a lot more meaningless than you'd think, but it's a big game now because it's Kyler Murray and the 5-0 Cards. I wish it was the second game.
Around the AFC North at 9 up next. If Bulls listening, please turn the show off right now. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, Live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.